Greetings, magnificent souls, to the Lily Beulie podcast, where we have open and honest discussions about ourselves. This is your host, Lily Beulie, and I'm honored to have conversations here with thought leaders, visionaries, healers, and even solo conversations with myself about things I'm currently reflecting on. This is a place where we break down, break away, and break through our emotional trauma, allowing ourselves to be healthy, be happy, and live a peaceful life. We are tired of being sick and tired. We are tired, but we are not giving up. We know that there is something magnificent inside of us. And because we are fighting daily, hourly, and by the minute, fighting ourselves, our jobs, our unhappiness, we have to do things differently. We have to break the cycle. We don't have a million chances. We have to be happy now. We have to find a way. So how do we do that? How is that possible? If you look around at what society is telling you, they tell you that what we're doing is impossible. Yet it's happening every single day. And it's happening through the practice and the love that we call awakening the magnificent soul. We are all magnificent souls. And these are our stories of healing. Today in episode 151, I welcome Julian Rosen to the show to chat about soulful transformation. Before we get into the show, don't forget to let me know your thoughts about this episode or anything you would like me to cover on future podcasts by dropping me a DM on Instagram. Remember, it is a safe place and I would welcome the discussion. Also, a request, if you are enjoying the show, please rate and share and review so we can get the word out to more and more souls who want to heal. And now on to today's episode. Julian Rosen is a transformational coach and facilitator who combines spiritual healing wisdom with applied neuroscience and depth psychology to help people transcend limiting patterns so they can live a healthy life aligned with their soul's purpose. He believes that every person has within them their own inbuilt healing and manifestation technology to create a life and relationships they deeply desire. Please enjoy this conversation with Julian Rosen. All right, Julian, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have this conversation with you today.
I'm excited to be here. When scheduling, it was funny when scheduling some of the times were like, I was like, oh, it's either really early. I was like, oh, and then I found like a 2:30 in the afternoon slot. I was like, oh, I'm taking this. This is perfect.
Yeah. 2:30 on a Friday is when we're recording this, everyone. So we're like headed straight to the weekend. Mm-hmm. But before we get into the weekend, we want to get into some good conversations today about healing, about Julian's take on healing, why he's here. And I invited him to the podcast. One of my good friends was actually one of your clients, and I've heard great things about you. So I'm really excited to get into the conversation. What I would love to know, if you're open to share, to start, is why this work for you? I know for me, it was my personal journey from basically like a hellish life on earth, like spiritually, mentally, you know, physically, and really coming to this breaking point of what is this? Like, why? I don't understand. Like, all of my listeners know about my story, but it's basically like I did everything that I was supposed to do, all of the things I was supposed to achieve, everything that I was supposed to do, and I was still so unhappy. And I hit like this major wall about when I started this podcast in 2018, and that's why I'm here, you know, and I'm having these conversations. So why are you here? What's your purpose here on earth? No pressure.
That's awesome. That's an awesome question. So like similar, but different, right? Similar, but different, right? Like coming to a deep place of pain that like my bag of tricks had nothing for it. You know what I mean? Like my intellectual bag of tricks or my ego bag of tricks or my willpower playbook. I had come to this moment of like, you know, surrender to, you know, to kind of use a spiritual term, but just over 10 years ago, actually, my mom got really sick and she ended up passing. And like, I still am like huge mama's boy, like had a real, like me and my mom were so close. She was like my person, you know what I mean? And, And so she got this brutal sickness. She had triple negative breast cancer. And I chose, you know, to be around it, you know, to help and just be with my mom as best I can. And just got this front row seat to just watching this person die slowly. And it was super, you know, I didn't know how impactful it was at the time. Cause I was just, you know, I was like a 22-year-old dude just trying to cling on to his mom. And then when she passed, I found myself in this super interesting place because, like, you know, especially in the US, like when you're 22, 23, that's kind of the age when like society's like, all right, be a grown up now. and you're just like, wait, what? Like,
yes. I don't, woefully underprepared.
Yeah. Totally underprepared. And so I found myself at this like double whammy of like, oh shit, I'm supposed to go be a grown man, whatever that means. And here comes grief and depression and all of these things that I just wasn't ready for. And so both of those things kind of hitting me at the same time just wrecked me. You know what I mean? Like just wrecked me. And came to this place of like, oh, okay. Like I was like, I will do anything to see what's on the other side of this.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Cause I was like, I was like, I know this isn't permanent. I know this isn't all there is to life, but like, I sure as hell can't see to the other side of it. And so I was like, yeah, I had this like come to the universe moment of like, yo, show me what's on the other side of this and show me how to get to the other side of this, because I don't have the game plan. I don't have the manual. And so ever since, I call it a prayer. I know the word prayer is kind of, you know, wishy-washy sometimes, but like, I just call it a prayer. I called out. I was like, okay, help me, whoever is out there, whatever's out there, whatever's listening. I'm not alone. And then just things got interesting. You know what I mean? Like my life, like things really started to open up and opportunities started to present themselves and books were recommended to me that I had no business reading, and just like the people and the places that I started to get connected with and the doors I started to say yes to, all kind of, you know, in retrospect now, right? 10 years looking back, I'm like, oh shit, there was an intent, like I was being guided, right? There was something there, right? And that journey led me to, okay, what do all humans share, right? All humans share this core, we all came with a mission, right? We all spiritually, you know, it's my belief, at least I'm not going to tell anyone what they should believe, but if it resonates, awesome. Like we came here to learn. We came here to grow. We came here to enter this life syllabus, right? This classroom of life. And that pain that makes you go inward is sometimes the teacher.
Yeah. 100%.
You know, and so I was like, okay, well, if we all have that pain, regardless of how cool your life looks on Instagram, if we all have that pain, I was like, I want to learn what to do with it. You know what I mean? Like I was like, what can we do with it? What's out there? What is science saying? What is ancient wisdom saying? What is spirituality saying? What is quantum physics saying? What is, you know, and just kind of seeing that they're all saying very similar things just with their own language. And so, you know, making that functional and giving it to people and helping people heal at whatever level, right? Whether it's the mindset level, the emotional level, sometimes it's just the straight up energetic level. We just need to move gunk in our field. But yeah, just kind of this unquenchable thirst of like, you know, we're not all broken and flawed. We're just, you know, we're following our syllabus and there's ways to bring beauty and healing to it, you know?
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. What I'll say about that.
Okay. Well, this is yours.
Well, it's so rich, you know what I mean? It's like, oh man, we could keep going on that.
Well, what you don't know, Julian, is we go, this is, I live in the deep. So
yeah, my
people live in the deep with me too. So as deep as you want to go, I could probably meet you there because I've been there myself. Tell me about what is healing to you? Because I'm so curious about this because, when I, for example, like if we switch roles and I was on your podcast, you know, if I was a guest on your podcast, a lot of people will ask me like, well, how do I heal? What am I supposed to do? You know, I'm asking for all of these like really quick fixes, these quick tips, tricks, strategies, or hacks to like, okay, well, you know, I focus on dating and love. So what do I do? How do I attract my emotionally available man? And they want, you know, they want these quick fixes and quick, you know, tips. And I always say, and I know that it like, you know, it's not the answer that people want, but I always say you have to heal. You have to heal. And it's hard, I think, for people to conceptualize what healing is. And I'm always curious asking like a fellow practitioner and, you know, we're just meeting, like, what is healing to you? Just curious.
Yeah, that's an awesome question. Yeah, and I get what you're saying. Everyone's like, all right, give me the 3-step formula. And then you hit them with this. Well, you gotta, like the, you gotta heal. And, you know, and healing is like, so, you know, it's like, wow, okay, what the heck is that? You know what I mean? You know, what is that? And so, you know, for me, it's like, I like to think in the most simplest terms, like, let's say you get a cut on your arm, right? Like a scrape and it opens and blood comes out, right? What was at one point one cohesive unit, which is your skin, fractured a little bit, right? Momentarily became parts, right? The whole became parts. And then you and I both know if, maybe put a Band-Aid on it. But if you don't, if you just leave it as it is, this, there's an intelligence that's just going to do it for you. You know what I mean? Like sometimes we take that for granted, but this miraculous sequence of blood and healing and new skin forms. And sometimes there's a scar, but the momentary split comes back. Right. And mends. And so, and so for me, like, that is the core of healing at all levels. It's like, okay, when we're born, we are a little soul learning how to inhabit a physical vehicle. You know what I mean? Like, it's so strange. And as long as we have a safe space to learn our boundaries, to learn, okay, what is me? What is the outside world? And okay, like, hey, when this happens in my environment, what happens in my body, right? Like that's what little kids are doing, right? They're learning through experience how to navigate their body and how to navigate their tribe, how to navigate the rules of society, right? They are, you know, if you look at most little kids, you know, and, you know, I have nieces and nephews and I just think of them, it's like, they're just them. There's no pieces. It's just them. They're just being them. Right. And then what happens is that unbroken oneness of self, you know, life bumps into us and we bump into life. And in those moments, we're like, okay, in order to adapt to the intensity, pain, confusion, frustration of this moment, or this trauma, or this chapter, there's a part of me that needs to either be hidden, or there's a part of me that needs to be compensated for, or there's a part of, right? We start to create this fracturing almost. And so again, what was once this unbroken, uninterrupted flow of oneness, you know, we start to, in order to adapt and fit in and get our needs met, and again, sometimes endure some really gnarly stuff, we learn to compartmentalize ourselves and hide part of the self and repress part of the self and present part of the self. Those things can become dense. You know what I mean? Those things like dense, like heavy, right?
Yeah, totally.
You know, and, you know, a teacher of mine always says, like, you know, and then the protector becomes the prison guard, right? So the things we put in place, the thought forms, the emotional patterns, the codependency patterns, right? The things that, you know, protected us, got us from point A to point B, they kind of linger in our field. They linger in our unconscious mind. And then when we go to manifest this beautiful life that we conceive of, like that inner self that's blossoming bumps into the old density, right? Bumps into the old mask and the old shield. And so healing is this love-based journey of re-inviting the parts home, and then like at the most like high meta level, you see like, oh wow, and I was always one the whole time. You know, so it's almost this like journey of, you know, it's like, have you ever read The Alchemist?
I have.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you've never read The Alchemist, it like starts with this guy sitting under a tree, and he has this vision that there's a or God tells him there's this treasure, and he has this vision of the pyramids, and he goes on this wild journey to the pyramids that takes years and years and years and years, and he gets beat up and he gets his ass kicked at the pyramids, mm-hmm. and then defeated, he heads back to the tree where it all started, and then he digs and he finds the treasure
yep.
right under the tree where he started,
oh,
right?
It's been so long since I read that book. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. It's mm-hmm. so good, right? And so it's like, oh, wow, what a huge allegory, right? What a huge mm-hmm. metaphor. But it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, that we, you know, we go on this journey to try to fill in those missing parts or compensate for what we felt was lost, or to, again, portray ourselves as this one thing while mm-hmm. we're totally repressing this wounded other thing. And mm-hmm. then the healing journey is confronting all of that and coming to a place of peaceful acknowledgement, like, oh, I never even needed to hide it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Coming, like, wow. Yeah. So yeah. Healing to you is coming in and like reclaiming the oneness that you were basically, we were born with. It's that journey of reclaiming. It sounds a lot of something that I say all the time, like every part has a purpose. It doesn't matter. Like right. parts of ourselves that we don't like, they have a purpose, you know?
Yeah.
And it is, I love that visual. You gave me this visual of like, you know, of knowing our higher self that wants something better, or maybe can feel something better. Like for me in my journey, like I always felt like something was missing. Like I didn't understand, but I always felt something was missing. But I loved the image that I got in my head was like a balloon inflating with air, but bumping up against these parts that have been fragmented, you know? And so the balloon is actually, you know, it ends up being really small, but in, you know, the healing journey for me too, is just like creating space, you know, inside myself, because I'm reclaiming all my different fragmented parts. So that's amazing.
Yeah. Though that balloon imagery, I use that with clients all the time. So
that's funny that
got invoked. Yeah. And just to set some realistic expectations, right? Like it isn't all like a lovey-dovey journey of bringing your parts home. Like sometimes it really is, right? Sometimes it is very beautiful and lovey and cute. Sometimes though, there's some shit, you know what I mean? Like, you know, what we would call in our shadow, right? And and like there's a term in so I'm a student in this this Brazilian spiritual path called Santo Daime, which is which has healing components to it. It's a really beautiful spiritual path. It involves drinking this tea that's similar to ayahuasca, and it's but it helps develop your healership. And there's this, it's all in Portuguese because it's Brazilian, but firmeza. And firmeza means firmness, right? Like firmness.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes when we're on our own healing journey, we need to invoke our own firmness, you know, which is almost like invoking our own masculine to allow the feminine to clean us, you know? So it's like, sometimes we have to literally just be firm and look at the thing we don't want to look at. But if you can remain firm to it, the feminine intelligence, right? The feminine archetypal energy that we all possess eventually will just come and move it, right? Through emotion, mm-hmm. through catharsis, through screaming, through, you know what I mean? Like the ocean moves what it needs to move, right? It's so mighty and mysterious and yet flowy and formless, right? And so, you know, healing will sometimes call, and that's why sometimes it's helpful to have a facilitator or a coach or a therapist with you, because you can borrow some firmness, right? But sometimes like the healing journey, like you come face to face with like the thing you don't want to look at or you don't want to feel. But at the same time, you're sick and tired of compensating for it. And so,
and so
you really have to ground and be firm. But again, it's almost counterintuitive, but like in that firmness comes mm-hmm. the flow, comes mm-hmm. the release, right? You know?
Yeah. Oh, I love this. The whole masculine feminine thing. Let's just talk, you know, I wish I could spend hours talking to you about this. Now. You
kind of
just open up this whole door or this whole window. But I like, for me on the inside with the masculine and feminine stuff, like this firmness that you're talking about, there is the shadow side, right, of that masculine energy, that firmness, that rigidness, that you know, that most women are pretty familiar with, you know, as I'm sure that you know, right? Mm-hmm. And the way that my, you know, healing is, you know, I think, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I feel like it's here, so I'm going to say it. But like, the feminine is like a very healing and nurturing and nourishing energy, right? And the way that my two intertwine, like, I think my firmness, my like the healing part of my masculinity is it's like the driver, I think, for my healing, like putting myself in situations that maybe feel a little bit scary, you know, for healing or whatever, and blocking my time off, blocking my energy off. That's the way that my masculine works to like my inner masculine, that firmness, I think, you know, that you said, because without it helps me put up, that inner part of me helps me put up those boundaries so that my inner feminine can heal, you know? So, and what, you know, it's such an interesting, like, outside in mirror, because now in my like current relationship, I have, you know, I've attracted a partner that actually allows me to do that in real life, but I first had to do it for myself on the inside. So it's just like makes, I don't know, just made me think about how that works for me. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes beautiful sense. Totally. And yeah, and just to echo that first part you said is like, yeah, a lot of, you know, a lot of our stuff, a lot of our wounding can come from run-ins with the distorted masculine, right? Yeah. Like the, you know, because again, if we think of the healthy masculine energy, it's firm and it's generative, but it's not oppressive, right? It doesn't go out of its way to attack the other, right? It stands, you know, it's firm, right?
Right.
Like a really planted oak tree.
Stable, consistent.
You know, and then it provides the safe container, the safe generative container with which the feminine can move, right? And again, you know, these are archetypal energies within us, not so much gender things, although, you know, gender roles can play them out. And so, and you know, like I actually have it tattooed on my knuckles, as within, so without. And because you said, I first had to do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I attracted this partner who could mirror that back to me. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, I think that's really, you know, really beautiful. In like, oh, you know, this type of energy was within me, this characteristic, this attribute of, you know, honoring my own boundaries and being firm with my own energy was already within me. I didn't need someone to come hand it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then it's kind of like, once you step into that and really start kind of vibrating that, you know, it's only a matter of time through the law of resonance that a person comes in your field who, you know, can match that.
Yeah. And it's like, I just thought it was interesting, you know, because the conversation kind of went that way, because it is really healing, you know, when, at least for me, parts of me that used to find value from, you know, those masculine type activities, and all of those energies were out, you know, and then through my healing journey, like that relationship that my inner masculine now has with my inner feminine, all of those energies are in. And so that part of, like, that inner masculine part of me now knows how, like, that's the part that sets the boundaries for the most part. That's the part that, you know, that's really kind of attached to my intuition and my discernment as well. It's like both of those working together, but it's just such a beautiful thing, you know, talking about healing and going down that route. So thank you for that. Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So yes, healing is dope. The moral of the story. tell me about what your take is on limiting patterns. Like, what are limiting, like, you know, I've heard a lot about like limiting beliefs. You do a lot of work with, you know, limiting patterns in people's lives and behaviors. Tell me more about like, what's your take on that?
Yeah. So, you know, a limiting pattern is, I see it, is anything that, at some point, kind of like that balloon analogy that you mentioned, right? Like, a limiting pattern is anything, and it could be a thought pattern, it could be an emotional attachment pattern, it could be a physical pattern, right? Like a behavioral pattern, it could be a substance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a limiting pattern is anything that no longer becomes contributing to our fullest expression of ourself, right? And usually it starts to take away from that. right? It starts to actually be a thief to that, right? And mm-hmm. so here's the thing, like, what is now a limiting pattern 2 years ago could have been the bee's knees, totally cool. You know what I mean? Could have been like, you know, I know a lot of, work with a lot of young men, like a lot of young dudes in like their early 20s, or, you know, they're going from their early 20s to kind of their mid to later 20s, and like the like grind at all costs thing was, you know, it was fine. It was totally fine when they were 23. Right. And then as they get a little bit older, the thing that worked doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's a jarring for a lot of people, because, you know, when we find ourselves in unknown situations, we're like, huh, well, what worked last year? What worked 5 years ago? And if we go back to that, energetically, it's like going back into the garbage bin and trying to like recycle the garbage instead of making room for something new. And so, yeah, a limiting pattern is that, right? It's like, oh, not only is it not allowing for you to actualize some fuller expression of who you are and what you came to this earth to do, but at a certain point, it starts to like leech. It starts to kind of like siphon off your life force, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So is that kind of like self-sabotage for you? Like, what is self-sabotage to you?
Yeah. So self-sabotage, it's so funny, right? Like self-sabotage, procrastination, disorganization. So like, I think these are all smoke emanating from the same fire. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Right. Like in the fire would be like, okay, something within you is blossoming and it's bumping into something that used to protect you. Mm. And that friction created by the two is that inner turmoil, inner resistance that our mind takes and assumes we're in danger. And so we go do something comfortable and distracting. Mm. You know what I mean? Like it's something going on in our psyche, right? It's something deeper. And again, that's why, you know, I'm like, is procrastination the smoke, or is it the fire? Or is it just the smoke? Cause usually it's the byproduct of, again, that deeper tug of war that's going on, where, you know, the soul is emerging, if you will, right? The truest essence of the true self is sick and tired of being constrained and hiding. And it's like, mm-hmm. time to come out. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of like Julian 10.0 is trying to come online, but he's bumping into the software and the old buggy software of Julian 7.0. And so there's these glitches, right? And so when I hear that, I'm just like, cool, dude, there's healing waiting to happen. How great. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. The dysfunction is literally, the symptoms are the better thing bumping up into the old thing. And the symptom is the, again, the friction created by the two. And so, the turmoil usually precedes the transformation. So it's like, if you can look through the lens of compassion, not like, oh shit, something's wrong with me and my life's falling apart. Exactly. Sometimes it feels like that, but it's like, what is trying to happen? Right? What is trying to move? What is trying to express? What is trying to flow? And what is it bumping into? And then, and then that's when, you know, game on, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's when the players show themselves and the healing can really, like, the deep, deep healing can begin.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. We have the same philosophy on that. Like, yeah. Self-sabotage for me is really just self-protection. You know, there's something, deeper inside of us that's saying whatever action that we're trying to do is scary, or for a part of us, at least for a part of me, that part kind of like feels like it's going to die. And a lot of so really like avoiding a conversation, or like you're saying, procrastination or something like that, is really just really a deeper level wound or whatever it is that really is just trying to protect us from, I think it's just like death, but it's like to parts inside of myself, or getting hurt or pain or abandoned or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. And it's, and those energies are really strong. Like those energies of like, like, it's almost like we play this illusion on ourselves, right? Where it's like, if we do have something that is difficult to address, or again, yeah, if we're going to take actions that can propel us to a level of life where we will be seen in a whole new way, exposed in a whole new way, right? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people, they're like, oh, I want to pursue my purpose and I want to impact the world. And, you know, that puts more of you on display, you know, it forces you to use more of your voice, right? And so when a lot of people bump into that, you know, there's this deep underlying survival system. It's like, remember when you did that when you were little and something bad happened? Like, let's not go there again. What if it hurts us so bad we die? You know, like that's kind of that self-repressive energy that, I mean, it, you know, it's misguided.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it has a kind of a nice purpose when you look at it. You're like, that's very sweet that you're trying to protect me like that, but it can drive you crazy, right? It can drive you crazy when you have so much potential ready to go and it, you know, it's getting siphoned off, you know?
Yeah. I also think the craziest part, you know, talking about like my like internal dialogue within ourselves is that, you know, when my protective parts come up, like my quote unquote self-sabotage, there will be so many other different voices, you know, in the room, like different parts of me speaking up and, you know, like just trying to coach me out of it, or it'll be like, no, let's just push this down, or, you know, and all that stuff. And I think what's not talked about enough is, you know, this whole culture where it's like, you know, change, you know, whole like make your mindset shift, or like do your gratitude list or your affirmations. But when you have those like really deep kind of things happening with you, it's like you can't willpower out of it, because at least, I don't know, that's my take. You can't really willpower out of it, because these things, like these patterns, have been in existence within us for like probably decades, right? And so what we think really is that we don't, that we have a lack of willpower, or it's really just parts inside of ourselves that are protecting us from whatever next level that we're trying to get to, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, it's there's so much noble, positive intentioned things out there that can actually that like people's unprocessed guilt and shame can grab it and distort it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so that, yeah, it's so like, why don't you just make your mindset shift and get over it? And it's like, some of this stuff, there is a deeper intelligence orchestrating a very organic process that really doesn't give a shit about your agenda. It because it just wants you to heal. Right. And so oftentimes when I'm working with clients who are going through a really big passage, typically what happens is a lot of these old patterns, they require a great deal of energy to maintain, right? Think about just all, like how much energy it requires to constantly submerge a beach ball under the water, right? It becomes a full-time job. And we get so good at the pattern and the self-repression and whatever that it becomes unconscious. And then it's like, wow, when the old pattern finally crumbles and falls, they're exhausted for like a week. Or they're exhausted for like 2 weeks. And they're like, oh my God, I can't meet everyone's expectations like I used to. And I, you know, and like, I'm like, cool. That's totally okay, right? There's this grand reorganization happening in your unconscious mind, in your deep self. And yeah, it's gonna, you know, it's like, you are entitled to rest. Yes. You are entitled to receive rest. The world's not gonna leave you behind. You know, a lot of us have that belief, right? Like, oh no, if I'm not always doing it, I'll be left behind, or I'll, you know, or it won't get done. And so sometimes, right, like these old patterns finally fall and we go through a healing process, and then we get brought to this place of like, oh wow, I have to rest, you know, like I have to rest. And then we get the evidence like, oh, look, someone helped me. Oh, look, all my clients didn't leave. You know what I mean? We get the evidence that the old thing was bullshit anyway. And then we're kind of like, okay, I see this, what this new chapter is going to look like. This is pretty cool. You know?
Yeah. It really changed the game for me when I, like kind of the way that I put what you're saying is, that really changed the game for me when I started to, all parts of me, or most of them, not all of them, I'll be real, most parts of me really started to love me where my parts were, instead of trying to love them. Like, you know, it's a very kind of dysfunctional relationship, right? Like just in general. And like, I'm talking about inside of myself. Like, I love you if you get this promotion, but if you don't, you're a failure, you know? And like, when I started to do my healing, I think that's like, that's basically my process, was like most parts of me really started to love me where I was, you know, like met myself where I was on the inside. And that was really transformational for me. And it really helped me. God, it helped me in so many areas of my life, like with my relationships outside of myself now. But again, like, as we know, like I had to do that on the inside as well. And so it's difficult, because there are all of these competing voices. You know, a lot of the inner critic, quote unquote, inner critic voice that I hear in my head comes from my, like my parents or like society, you know, just what you're talking about, rest. It's just so, there's so many things going on that we, if we don't do the healing work, it does take a lot of energy to really just like prove yourself all the fucking time. Like for real, yeah. Like it's just
yeah. It's, yeah. 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 There's a like, oh, there's so much, you know, guilt kind of woven into the fabric of our culture of like, just mm-hmm. like the Western culture of like, mm-hmm. more is better. Why aren't you doing more? Faster mm-hmm. is better. Why aren't you going faster? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And yeah, it's, you know, it's so, it's so tempting to get tangled with it and either want to argue with it or disprove it. But the second we engage with it, it's got us, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so a lot of the healing process is almost this action through non-action. Mm. You know, like, mm-hmm. You know, for years and years, and I still incorporate components of NLP and hypnosis in mm-hmm. my, you know, transformation work. But for years and years, it was like, okay, what's the problem? What's the thought? Okay, what's the change work modality that we pair with the thought and we do something about it? And there's still a time and a place for that. But when it comes to like deep healing, sometimes there's not a damn thing to do about it. You have to see it. And yeah. You have to breathe and you have to feel it. And sometimes mm-hmm. You got to grieve things that you lost and you got to mm-hmm. grieve things that you didn't get mm-hmm. from, and you got to forgive who you never got it from. And there's mm-hmm. all these, you know, that in our culture of like, what's the fix, do, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes healing is like, there's nothing to do about it except just breathe and acknowledge it, but don't fuck with it. Don't try to fix it. Don't try mm-hmm. to figure it out. Don't follow it. Don't like, you're just meant to coexist with it for a little bit as it unravels.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and so I think some people are like, okay, what's the next thing to do about the thing? And like, you know, especially with like my male clients, and I'm like, bro, I was like, dude, go sit. I was like, literally go lay under a tree, leave your phone at home and lay under a tree and like, just do that. Yes. Please. Yes. You know, just breathe yes. under a tree. Right. Cause mm-hmm. like, Our thoughts are so powerful. So mm-hmm. if we are consistently thinking there's something else I need to fix, shit, we're going to manifest more shit to fix, not because it needed fixing in the first place, but our, you know, the causative power of our thoughts is just actualizes. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's like, I was like, dude, just go pretend that you're not fucked up. Just go pretend it's okay to be yeah. under the tree. And then, you know, then they hit me up an hour later. They're like, wow, you know, all this stuff left my body. And I was like,
that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Your yeah. body knows what it's doing when you get out of the way, you know?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. So everyone go sit by a tree. And that's what Julian's saying. Everyone go sit by a tree or under a tree. No phone. That's your prescription for this weekend, y'all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. With your hand on your heart. Yeah.
Yes. Love that. Anything that we missed today that's up for you?
You know, I think we alluded to it a bunch. You know, I just want to hit it one more time. It's like, we all have the stuff. We all have the shit that we need to work through mm-hmm. because again, spiritually, it's why we came to earth is mm-hmm. to, again, have a life experience and learn. And we learn through contrast, right? So we learn mm-hmm. through good, bad, pain, pleasure. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, cause sometimes it's easy to get in that isolated mindset of like, oh, I'm all messed up and it's just me. Like, mm-hmm. no. Every person you see is or has gone through something. And, you know, like we're all more alike than we're different. And then the last thing I'll add is just like if you're like, what's a tool I can use from this? It's compassion. Mm. Compassion is have compassion for yourself, have compassion for your parts, do your best to have compassion for others, have compassion for those who trigger you, have compassion for those who wounded you as best you can. Because compassion is this almost this new, it's just this neutral state of aliveness. It's like, hey, I'm not going to label it. I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to attack. I'm just going to breathe and acknowledge that it's here. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And again, I know sometimes to our minds that like to do and fix, it's like, and then what? It's like, no, you know, like in that neutral state of witnessing and aliveness, whatever needs to happen can happen on its own.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know? And so compassion is like, woo, it's a superpower for real.
It is. And I think if you, it's just like anything else, like in my experience too, if I practiced it enough, it became, you know, habit, it became skill, it became second nature, but we're just not like we've said already today, like, we're just not conditioned. We're first conditioned to be critical and then compassionate. But what if we were compassionate first and then worked from there? Like, very powerful things can happen on the inside of us for sure when that happens.
Yeah. I think the Dalai Lama would give you like two thumbs up for that.
Oh my gosh, Julian. Thank you. Cool. Well, it's been an honor. Thank you for coming on. You're amazing.
Same. Likewise, my friend.
Thank you. Tell us where we can find you. What are you working on right now?
Right. So as of right now, Instagram is the best way to find me. And what I'm working on right now is actually, so for the last like 4 years, I've been doing predominantly men's group work with some one-on-one practice on the side. And so actually in 3 weeks, I'll be launching a spiritually based transformational and healing community, coaching community for men, women, for anybody on the healing path, anybody on the transformational path. And it's my intention. It's like, it's my intention to build this community that's super accessible, have it be like $150 a month and just stay as long as it's useful with weekly coaching and weekly meditations and inner guided experiences to invoke healing and courses and meditations and hypnosis and a whole bunch of awesome resources. So that by the time this airs for sure will be up and running, and I'm sure I'll have the link in my bio. That's what I would say. And it's Julian_Rosen is cool. The IG tag. And I think that's the best place for now.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I will link everything in the show notes. I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on, Julian.
Yeah. Thanks, Lily. It was awesome.
My pleasure. I really, really hope that you enjoyed this conversation with Julian. I loved all the little nuggets that were sprinkled throughout this episode. We covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time. I love the conversation about compassion at the very end. Compassion is probably one of the hardest things that I had to cultivate within myself. Because I've always been, you know, like a high performer, high achiever, straight A student. And a lot of the ways I got there was actually not being very compassionate with myself. So really trying to hone in that compassion piece has been very, very huge for me. It's been one of the biggest transitions, I think, inside myself and my life. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation about that. A couple things before we close up today. I really just want to tell you how loved and supported that you are. I want you to know that whatever you're going through in your life, that I'm here. Y'all, I think I say this every time now, but I do make community calls. I have a time blocked out on my calendar to make calls to the community to connect. One of my biggest reasons for doing this is connection with myself, my higher purpose, with you, if you're listening, with God. And if you want me to give you a call, like a real life phone call, instead of this one-way channel, which I love, and I love you for being here, drop me a DM on Instagram. I make my calls mostly on Saturdays in the afternoon. So if you'd like to hear from me, let me know. Also, if you are a woman and you are dating, don't forget to take the Feminine Dating Archetype quiz to reveal your blocks to love and find your true love match. I also put in the show notes the different ways that you can work with me here in September. I announced a new program called Transcendence, where it's actually in person and we get together in your area, which I'm super, super excited about that. But if you're really looking for support to go to the next level in your healing journey, you feel like something's missing, if you're tired of doing it all on your own and you really want to heal the deeper level patterns that maybe, you know, to be blunt, that you're not too proud of, or that you want to just to get to the bottom of and understand more and heal, I'm your woman for that. So there's a link in the show notes about how we can work together in the month of September. And as always, again, please know that you are loved and you are supported, and I am here, and there's a community out there waiting for you. And we will see you next time. Enjoy the show.